Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Today I bring you a sermon from the Gospel text of John. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing before you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever held on to guilt for something that you did or didn't do at the appropriate time? Well, the good news that I have for you today is that Jesus doesn't only forgive you, but he still desires to use you and will strengthen you for life with him. This Sunday's reading comes directly after last week's, and if you remember there, we saw Jesus forgive and bring peace to his disciples when he appeared in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Having granted forgiveness and peace, Jesus now comes to the disciples again. First of all, we have this interesting story about a group of the disciples going fishing, and after spending all night out on the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias, they have caught nothing. Next, Jesus appears on the shore, and before they recognize him, he commands them to cast out their nets on the right side of the boat. The net comes up so full that they can't even haul it into the boat and end up towing it to shore. But in the middle of all that, the beloved disciple informs at least Peter that he recognizes it is the Lord. Peter quickly throws on some clothes and jumps into the water to swim ashore. Now, whether they're not catching anything was some kind of reprimand for having been out fishing instead of out proclaiming the gospel, we aren't told. Maybe they were a little lost in all that had gone on and simply returned to something that was comforting, something that they knew. But perhaps they were simply out to earn some money so that they could support themselves as they continued to proclaim this word and tell the truth about Christ. Much like Acts later, when we see Paul and his tent making to support himself. What we do see for certain is that in spite of their lack of success, Jesus comes now to them. And he blesses their labours with an abundance of success. 153 fish. Not simply tiny bait fish or small servings, but huge ones. This would be one impressive fishing story for those among us so inclined. One time out on the Sea of Galilee, we'd been out all night and caught nothing. And then on the way back in, we throw out the nets one last hopeful time. And as we haul it in, it's full to bursting. It was enough for a whole fishing trip. 153 whoppers. If it was that they were out there bewildered and lost, just finding a little bit of common and familiar ground, then here we don't have Jesus demanding an explanation, but rather blessing them before nudging them again in the right direction. If it was that they needed the food or the money to continue in their proclamation and take care of themselves while they did it, then here we see Jesus providing for their ministry. Either way, there's incredible grace and mercy in this story. Next thing we know, the other disciples from the boat have gathered and we find Jesus has already started breakfast for them. You see, Jesus doesn't just bless them with the provisions that they were after, but he also supplies them with the meal for the start of the day, giving them breakfast after a long night's hard work. Christ joins them in a meal and from his own hand provides their food. But even though he had what was needed, he invites them to contribute out of the very catch which he himself just provided also. All of this sounds interesting and it's an incredibly beautiful reminder of the humanity of Christ coming to his friends and sharing a meal with them. Tied to an equally beautiful reminder of his divinity, coming to his disciples, his people, and blessing them
miraculously providing their needs. But what happens next is where I would like to draw our attention today. As I said before, this text comes just after last week where Christ granted peace and forgiveness. And if he's already given forgiveness to the disciples, why is it that he interrogates Peter? Why does Jesus bring up Peter's denial of him when he was at the trial? The text doesn't explicitly say that this is what's happening, but it's pretty hard to miss. Firstly, there's the same question three times, just as Peter denied Christ three times. It's happening early in the morning, just as Peter denied Christ before the cock crowed. And finally, it's all taking place around a charcoal fire, this time with fish on it, cooking for breakfast. Last time, around a different charcoal fire, with the slaves and guards at Jesus' trial. If Jesus has truly forgiven Peter, then why this interrogation? Why the questioning? It obviously hurts Peter. We had the text tell us just as much. It says, Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" But doesn't it always hurt when someone brings up something we feel guilty for? Doesn't it always cut to our heart, even if it's long past and everybody else has moved on? Maybe this very issue is why Peter chose to go fishing. Maybe he thought something along these lines. How can I tell anyone about Jesus being raised from the dead when at his greatest need I pretended not to even know him? I'm so glad that he's back. It's amazing. But no one can follow a coward. Maybe Peter even went so far as to rationalize away Christ's forgiveness, saying, "That peace was for the others, not for me. Jesus couldn't possibly love me anymore after what I've done. I'll just go back to fishing." Doesn't that sound familiar? When was the last time that you did something that seemed so terrible, so horrible, so un-Christ-like that you thought, surely even God wouldn't want you back? Jesus comes to Peter, not because Peter needs to be forgiven by God, but because Peter needs to be forgiven by Peter. Especially if Peter, as Christ is calling him to in this text, is to go on to lead the early church. Then Peter needs to let go of his guilt. Just as Peter said, Peter clearly said Jesus knew that Peter loved him. But Peter had forgotten that Jesus loved Peter. And first loved Peter. This conversation reminds me of a part of church life which we don't hear about quite so often anymore. Private confession and absolution. Here Christ takes Peter aside, deals with him one-on-one, with the very thing that's cutting him to his core. Expresses forgiveness for those individual sins. Jesus deals with Peter's guilt and gives him the grace to do what God has for him. Hearing all of this, especially the part about Peter going on to lead the church, it would be very easy for us to tell ourselves that this passage is for the pastors and bishops. That in this text we're reminded that it's by following Christ and out of love for him that the pastors and bishops of the church are to care for the parishioners as the flock which Christ has granted them to tend. And this is all very true. But aren't each of us given people by God? All of us, all of you, have people in your lives placed there by God. Yes, pastors with their church members, but also parents are given their children, bosses their employees, and each of you are given your friends and family, the relations around you. All of these same roles can be reversed as well. Churches are given their pastors by God. Children are given their parents.
Employees are given
their bosses.
Each of us,
in every part of our lives, have been given relationships
from God. These too are God's sheep, and some of them may be lost, just like the lost sheep in Luke 15 that Jesus tells us about.
But all of them do belong to God,
and Christ would have us feed and tend to all of them. But there's so many people in our lives, aren't there? How on earth can we tend
and feed all of them? You see, that's the beauty of how Jesus speaks to Peter. Jesus calls Peter to feed his sheep,
but only after Christ has first fed him.
Jesus even warns Peter that it will be hard,
and for Peter specifically, it will even cost him his life.
But Jesus reassures Peter that it isn't a lonely path that Peter will walk.
Jesus says to him, "Follow me."
Jesus tells Peter, "Follow me in caring for the flock." Jesus time and again fed crowds, healed sick, released those who were afflicted by the enemy, and showed compassion to the outcast. Jesus tells Peter,
"Follow me into death."
Into a death which John tells us will glorify God, just as Jesus' death glorified God. Church tradition tells us that Peter's life was ended crucified, upside down, on a cross for his faith. Jesus tells Peter, "Follow me
out of death and into new life."
Just as Jesus rose from death to life, Peter too is to follow that path. For each of these things, Jesus is the one giving Peter the strength to accomplish them. Jesus faced death and gave hope to Peter so that when the time comes, he can face it too. Jesus fed Peter to feed the sheep. Jesus rose from the dead so that Peter too could be raised. All of this is an answer to Peter's earlier question in John chapter 13 when Peter says, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward." Peter has known the shame of denying his beloved Lord.
He knew that he was no great man.
He failed and showed his great weakness. But Peter now has known the joy of being strengthened by his very beloved Lord, whom he betrayed.
The Lord is shown great in Peter's great weakness. The same is true for each of you. None of you have the strength in yourself to love and care for, to tend and feed all of the people which God has given you throughout your life. And I'm sure many of you have no difficulty remembering the times that you have failed. But remember also that Christ granted forgiveness to your failures. And at his meal, here at the table, he invites you, just as he did his disciples that morning, "Come and have breakfast. Be strengthened for the day ahead. Be strengthened by Christ for the work which he has given you." Just as Jesus promised Peter, it will be hard at times. But Jesus has walked the path before you. Jesus will give you sustenance and strength for the way. Jesus will be there with you in suffering, even in your death. And finally, Jesus will raise you to new life with him. Follow him, not in your own strength, but in his. Follow him. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.